Greetings, Saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prof Show. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network.
And today's date is October 1st, 2020.
The world is in turmoil. Most don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make the choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message.
And the phone number is 620-878-4682. That's 620-878-4682. If you have an emergency, text Dan. Let him know you're going to call his cell at 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886. You can find always find all the updates with the breaking news and all about the Wichita Mission Church. Radio program archives and contact information is all on our mystery hub, which is prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. We're a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net, internationally, YouTube, and some FM stations. So please pray about supporting airtime. Let's thank our listener bases in places like Beijing, China, New Delhi, India.
Part of it. I'd like to believe it out.
Malmo, Sweden, and the USA. We got Jacksonville, Florida, Fort Worth, Texas, Fresno, California, and Wichita, Kansas is the largest group that listens to the podcast when it posts later tonight.
At least they was for last week. And San Jose is close behind them, just for the record. By the way, folks, we ask you to please send us an email to radio@messiahsbranch.org or a text to my phone at 316-649-4886. Let us know what city you're coming from, and especially if we haven't ever mentioned you before. Okay, we will not use your text to email or to solicit donations. Just kind of want to know who's listening. Follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name we pray. Father, I pray radio not goes according to your will, not our will, Father. Thank you for everything, Father. Please just bless us tonight so we can give the people the truth. In Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen. Well, first off, I didn't even grab a Brother Ben song. And I do want to play one especially tonight. I imagine he's got the first one over there, don't he? I imagine Frank's listening up. He forgot to ask me for it. So, of course, it was my responsibility to give it to him. So while we're waiting for it to come up, we got a letter from him, right?
Yep, we sure did, finally.
Finally, yeah. He said he's been a little bit sick, but he finally answered us. So, naturally, I sent him a letter right back asking him if he wanted to come on the program and asking him for some of his other music that he has, because I had a tape that had a lot more on it. And I wonder if Frank over there has got the song yet. Maybe not. Okay, I threw him off. But anyway, so I really hope he answers us quick. I hope we can get him on because I'd really like for the people to hear, you know, about the circumstances.
I'm sure he's got some new songs by now. It's been years.
Okay, he's got it, so we're going to play the song now.
Give an ear to these words I say. Compassion for the lost will grow strong. As I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their souls. treasures, and further down that road they are drawn. And as I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their soul. To snatch a soul from entering hell. But don't you know these evil days are numbered? So get to work and do your job well. And as I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their soul. That was on my heart. Now don't forget we haven't much time. The vineyard dries, the field is wide, the workers are few, and the harvest time is now in its prime. As I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short.
Okay, and again, that was Brother Ben McKnight. I do plan on trying to get him on the program. I don't know how far he is in the ministry. We really haven't really talked much in years. So anyway, moving right along, we're going to talk a little bit about the debate. We're not going to get into deep into it, but everybody else is talking about it, so we might as well say a few words. From what we can see, all the real media people and the real people that report said, fact-checked Biden, and practically everything he said was a lie and untruth, and he was really confused. If it wouldn't have been for Wallace, he would have been dead in the water.
You mean if he wouldn't have been for the wire he was wearing?
Well, we'll get into that. Go ahead, read this, and we'll talk about the wire.
Okay. The Washington Times, Tuesday, September 29, 2020. The Trump campaign said Democrat Joseph R. Biden refused their request to have third-party inspect his ears for electronic devices prior to Tuesday night's first presidential debate. The jockeying came hours before both candidates squared off for the first of the three debates. Joe Biden's handler several days ago agreed to pre-debate inspection for electronic earpieces, but today abruptly reversed himself and declined, said Trump campaign communications director Tim Murtaugh.
I guess.
Murtaugh.
Okay. So we did see some real telltale signs. I spotted it first. The first place that I spotted it was on TikTok, and it was. And what they pointed out first was the when he rose his hand, looked like there was a wire coming out.
Yeah, and see, I seen that in the, when they replayed that video. I seen when he coughed, and I seen that, and I thought it was one of those cuff clips, but it was a microphone.
Well, and so not really sure how all that works. Somebody said it was an antenna to the mic or whatever. I know an earpiece. I'm pretty sure an earpiece actually has the mic and the thing in it, but I don't know. I don't know enough about it. But then when he reached inside
his shirt,
could have
been the antenna then.
And yeah, and when he reached inside his shirt, you know, and pulled it out, it looked like there was a wire.
Yeah, when he pulled his hand back out of his shirt, the wire revealed itself all the way down his shirt. It's so plain to see. He can't lie out of that.
Yeah, so the media tried to say that that was a crease, his shirt crease, but a shirt crease wouldn't have been bent like
that. Oh, really?
And the other part of it, the other thing was a rose. Now, and I can't debate that. I've just never seen him ever with a rosary around his wrist. But supposedly, after his first son died, he's always wore a rosary around that wrist. That didn't look like a rosary. It was pointed.
And it was attached to his shirt. Look at the video. It wasn't around his wrist. It was attached to his shirt.
Yeah.
Of his cuff on his shirt. It was not around. What another lie. Wow.
Well,
those people just lie after lie after lie. You know, and that's what the word says. Once you tell one lie, you just lie to cover up the lie, to lie, to lie, to lie. And next thing you know, you believe your own lies. You don't even, that's their problem.
Yeah.
They've lied so much, they believe their own lies. They couldn't tell the truth if it slapped them in the face.
Yeah. You know, I'm sitting here kind of laughing with my wife, and I'm looking at her, and if you all can see her, she's wearing her Trump hat.
Well, this one says President Trump. I bought a camouflage one before when he was campaigning. It says Trump 2020. It just says Trump 2020. This one came in the mail the other day, and it says President Trump has an American flag, and it's black. And I thought, well, I didn't buy another hat. President Trump sent me a hat. My husband tricked me. He bought it. I thought the president sent me a hat. Boy, I was so proud of it. I put it right on, went over to my son's house, showed it off. I said, I got President Trump's hat on now.
Oh, that's funny. I didn't realize that it went to
That's my president. I'm so proud of him.
Yeah, amen. There's so many, I don't know, he has to fight. People are saying, well, even Christians are saying, well, he was rude. Look, he's there to fight back.
And I watched it from the beginning to the end. Joe Biden and Chris Wallace interrupted Trump just as much or not more than Trump interrupted, and he had to defend himself. He was debating both of them.
Right, and there's the point. He had to defend himself. Otherwise, if Wallace would have kept his mouth shut, Biden would have been in a heap on that. He would have just went speechless.
Yeah, he bailed him out two or three times.
Yeah, well, more than that. They actually added it up.
Yeah.
I don't remember
what
it was.
Yeah, somebody did all the addition, and they said it was a big number as to Chris Wallace interrupting.
Yeah,
cutting Trump off.
Between both of them, it really, really was.
Yeah.
You know, and now they're trying to change the rules for the next debate, and everything.
Well, I mean, here somebody on their party said that they didn't advise Joey to do any more debates.
Well, there's been more than one said that. They said you won, Joe, so stand down. That's because actually he lost. Now, one of the big deals is, there's a thing called Telemundo, and it is a TV station, that is Spanish. And Telemundo, they, watched the debate and talked about it. And they said Trump had it now that the approval because of the debate that it went up to over 60% approval rating with the Hispanic community, their listeners at least, and so that was a big deal. That was a real big deal.
Wait till that TikTok video where it shows him wearing a wire gets around to everybody. It explains a lot. He never answered hardly anything. He avoided everything and he kept pausing. So that explains it. He was listening for them to tell him what to say.
Well, a lot of, like I told you, I said, give it a little bit of time. It'll be around. Not only that TikTok video, but there's a lot of people caught it.
Oh, cool.
And it's making the rounds. It's already made the rounds.
Yeah.
It's already made the rounds. That's why you can Google if he cheated, and all of the left media are coming out and saying, no, that wasn't what you saw.
A crease in his shirt, really? You can go look at that video.
Yeah.
That's another one on them. A crease in his shirt.
Yeah, and if you haven't seen the video, if you go over to my Dan Catlin Facebook page, it's over there. Well, I don't know. It's gone now. I did put it in my story, but it's gone now. But
I posted it on my timeline, but I'm not friends with everybody. I just have family.
Right. You do the family thing, and mine is used for ministry.
Right.
In fact, the only reason I got
it. So I can send it back. Oh, you still got it. You could post it on the pastor's page.
Well, there's several links. Now, if you go to the pastor's page, there's several places of links that I have that have it on it.
Okay.
And some of the, and if you're not seeing those other videos, there was about five videos other than that I posted that showed the same thing, and Facebook took them down.
Oh, yeah, they're leftists. They don't want nothing up there that's going to make them look bad. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, they took them down.
Like my son got thrown in Facebook jail because he was posting a thing on the kid, the 17-year-old kid that stood up for his wasn't even his
town.
Which,
by the way,
wasn't even his town, and they're trying to get him for murder, and he was self-defense. That was all self-defense. Look at the video. Self-defense.
Okay. But what you don't know, clearly, is that after the debate last night, see, Biden called him a white supremacist and stuff. And, well, but listen, so the next day, you know, they said that yesterday they came out, his attorney came out and said that they're suing Biden and the Biden campaign because that will bias a jury against him. And so they are now being sued for making false statements about that kid because, you know, he mouthed off about it. And so, and Biden was fact-checking all the things that the that Biden was fact-checked on. He was all lies, you know, telling really bogus things. Like one of the biggest bogus things he said, even the New York Times, that's the the people that are against Trump. Biggest ones that are against Trump. Biggest news media other than CNN, MSNBC, the biggest actual newspapers, New York Times. They actually fact-checked. In fact, somebody said hell froze over because they fact-checked Biden, and they fact-checked him on one issue, and that was the issue that Biden said that him and Obama gave. Well, let me tell the people. You know, but they don't know.
I know.
Trump handed him a booming economy.
Oh,
and
please.
And they fact-checked him and said that was not true. And
has
so even the New York Times said...
Anybody that lived in America knows that's not true.
Right, absolutely. Okay, coming up, we can... I don't know if we... Well, we don't... Okay, let's start into this. What'd you think? Well, let's just talk about it first. We can talk about it, and then we'll talk. We'll use the article when we come back. What did you think about the return?
It was pretty... It was really moving. I watched it from 8 o'clock to 8 o'clock.
Okay, what was it again?
It was the return, repentance of America, return back to the Lord, or suffer punishment.
Okay, I guess I could ask you in a different way, because see, we got people out there that don't listen to us every week and might know nothing about it. So
it was on the lawn of the at Washington.
It was on the at the National Mall.
Yes.
And who was it?
Jonathan Cahn.
Jonathan Cahn. And
a whole bunch of other preachers, ministers.
Okay, so
everybody coming together to pray for America.
Right. So did Jonathan Cahn just talk for 18 hours or whatever?
No, he did. He did several little segments, but he gave a message to America, a prophetic message to America, and he did talked about some other stuff. But everybody prayed for America to repent and return back to God because punishment is coming if we don't.
Right.
They did a metaphor, we're in Egypt, this is the second Exodus. We're in the same position we was then as they was then, now as they was then. We need to repent and return. Same thing with Sodom and Gomorrah. Same thing. We need to repent or there's going to be punishment.
Okay, let's start.
Unlike you've never seen before, and like the publisher said on here, if they think Trump is mean, wait till Yeshua returns.
Okay.
They'll say mean.
We need to get over on this. Okay. we need to start. We'll bring in part of this. We'll finish it up afterwards because we've got to talk about the Feast of Trumpets. This is from the Charisma News. Staff did this, and this is what they wrote about America.
Jonathan Cahn gives a powerful prophetic message to the trumpet that returns. Rabbi Jonathan Cahn gave a powerful prophetic message to trumpet the return, National and Global Day of Prayer and Repentance, today on the... National Mall in Washington, D.C., making significant correlations between the ancient word of the scriptures and the present-day circumstances. The best-selling author used the words of the Old Testament prophets to highlight the grievous sins of our nation and the world, and how we individually and collectively have turned away from him. Not only did the trumpets blow as the return began at 9 a.m., but it was 8 a.m. on Saturday, September 26th, before a gathered crowd of thousands, but so fierce, so far sounded at various points in Cahn's message, extendiating the gravity of the biblical solemn assembly and described in Joel 2:15, blow the trumpets in Zion, consecrate a fast, proclaim a solemn assembly.
Okay.
And that was one of the best things ever through all the...
Okay, you said it was 9 a.m. Eastern. It was stayed here.
Okay.
So yeah, that's correct. Anyway, that was just, it accentuated what was going on. And I did miss the horns, Vaughn, but Vaughn, we'll get a little bit more of this in before break.
Okay, just as the people of ancient Israel drove Yahweh out of and turned their hearts away from him and toward other gods, Con said, we have likeness fallen,
likewise
fallen. We too have turned away from Yahweh of our foundations, have estranged ourselves from him. And he said, we drove Yahweh out of our hearts, out of our government, out of our ways, out of our lives. And we drove him out. We opened up a vacuum into which came a flood of other gods, prosperity, comfort, sexual immorality, and obsession. We too have become our own gods.
Okay, stop. We'll get the rest afterwards, but I'll say this. What strikes me about this is Dimitri Dudeman met that angel, and the angel called America Babylon, Mystery Babylon, and Dimitri Dudeman asked him why. He says, because America has let other gods into their country, and they have many gods. What Jonathan Cain said, Con said, is just the same thing.
Right.
You know, and so that's a correlation. Can we get more time? Can our country be healed? It can be, because that's what the scripture says. If you will humble yourselves and pray, you know, and repent and turn away, can't just repent. Repentance means turning away anyway. A lot of people don't understand that. You just say, well, I'm sorry. If sorry means you change your mind and you're turning away, you're going to do something different, you know. Okay, tell them where they can find us, and we'll go to break and come back in a little bit.
Now you can find all of our information all about radio and about the Mission Church, and all of our contact information is at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Be back in 4 minutes.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
At the time of creation, God ended his work after 6 days, and he rested on the seventh day. At that time, he blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. made it holy. The fourth commandment states that the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. The only honest conclusion that can be drawn is that Sunday, the first day of the week, cannot possibly be the Sabbath. The only remaining question is, could the days of the week have changed over time? A careful study of chronology reveals that even though calendar changes have occurred, the order of the days of the week have stayed the same. The Julian calendar, originating in 46 BC, was replaced with the Gregorian calendar in 1582. What took place is that 10 days were taken from the number of the days in the month. Friday, October 5th, became Friday, October 15th. One must also remember that it is only necessary to check the calendars back to the time of Christ. He certainly knew which day was the Sabbath. He created all things and instituted the observance of the Sabbath day. Yes, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
Did it again. We're back. This is Pastor Dan and
Linda Catlin.
And you're listening to the Messiah Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks out there, if you heard a little lag, it's because I did one of them Pastor Dan things and turned down the volume so I could talk to my wife during break and forgot to turn it up. Anyway, we're talking about the return, and that was Jonathan Cahn's thing that he had on the National Mall. Anyway, on the National Mall. At the same time that was going on at the same place, Franklin Graham was having a prayer march. And so between the both of them, they estimated that there was probably 1 million Christians in Washington, D.C. And it was all along the same thing for America to repent and turn back to Yahweh. But so anyway, we was reading, my wife was reading from an article that was written about it. We'll get through it quick so we can talk about the Feast of Tabernacles. But this was from Charisma News, and we'll pick up on the article. Let's go here.
Okay. Cahn included in his message a clear call to repent for the sins of abortion. To shed the blood of a human baby is to murder a life. He said nothing that our collective hands are, covered with blood. 60 million Americans have been murdered, but instead of weeping over that fact, we go further, he said, pointing to the state of New York and the passing of what Cahn called the bloody law that removed abortion from the state penal code. Not ignoring.
Stop a second. Now here's the point. I believe with Ginsburg, I believe it is real prophetic. With Ginsburg out of the way, people were saying how great she was. Well, even she did some good things. She's still a murderer. She enabled the murder of those children. But here's the point, and we get another justice. There is a possibility for America to actually repent, because even if we repented of everything else and didn't stop abortion, that is enough to bring judgment on this nation. So the only way this nation could be really healed is for abortion to move out of the way and to go.
Reverse Roe versus Wade.
Yeah, it would have to be Roe versus Wade. Now, still, though, America could come under judgment, but it wouldn't necessarily be national, because you know what happens if Roe versus Wade goes away, right?
Right, abortion would be illegal.
No, it doesn't make abortion illegal if Roe versus Wade goes away. Here's the deal. That's a federal law that says that it's legal everywhere, okay? But if it goes away, then the federal law goes away, and then it goes down to the states independently. And so that Congress would have to pass a law to actually come out and say that it would be illegal in all states. But if Roe versus Wade goes away, then it goes down to the states. Then each individual state would have to decide for themselves. And most all the conservative states, in a heartbeat, in a second, it would go away. But places like New York and California and other places.
All the murder states.
There you go. Okay, but now go on with this.
Okay, not ignoring the radical tensions that...
Racial.
Oh, not ignoring the racial tensions that have shaken our nation, Khan told the assembly that one day every tribe, tongue, and nation will gather at the throne of Yahweh. But he also asked a profound question. How do you say Black Lives Matter and say nothing about all the black babies, all the black lives killed here in this land before they could even take their first breath?
And babies would have been all right, but it wasn't really good.
Right. Smashing a clay vessel on the platform and evoking the scene of the prophet Jeremiah doing the same in the Valley of Ben-Hinnom, Jeremiah 19, Khan told his listeners, a house that wars against its own foundation cannot remain standing. That is why we have come onto this ground and have gathered all over America and the world, because the hour is late and the moment is critical. We must seek his mercy as never before. We have come here before Yahweh has given his promise, yet still. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. And yes, I was almost to cry. Anyway.
Yeah, well, you did. She spoke for the record. She boo-hooed all the way through this thing, you know, most of it anyway. Go ahead.
And Khan continued his message. He presented the Lord's clarion call to return, kneeling on the stage at one point, and he asked all those who were able to join him in a physical and spiritual posture of repentance. Khan said, the voice of Yahweh is calling to America and to the nations of the world, return to me and I will not reject you, and I will be your healing. What lies ahead, judgment and calamity, or return and revival? It can be both, Khan said. He included an appeal, salvation, for those who do not yet know Christ, telling them one heartbeat is the only thing that stands between you and eternity. The time for salvation is now.
Right. And now there was other, besides the people that were there at the National Mall, folks, there was also people from all over the world. Then some of them even Samuel cast in and did repentance things in different countries and things.
Right.
And so it was a really broad thing. It was a really broad thing.
It was worldwide, yeah.
Yeah, amen. You know, and what I was amazed about, it seems to be and I'm praying it seems to be a spirit, because like Stan, you know, he did, like the week before, they gathered over 400 and some people, and they fasted for 48 hours, and that was a big deal. And they're going to do it again on the Devil's Night, October 31st. Anyway, all right, so now what's coming up tomorrow at dark?
Tabernacle. Sukkot, Feast of Tabernacles.
Okay, well,
season of our joy.
Stop. Let's go to this. There's a lot of, as she's wrapping off, folks, women are just like that. They just want to, blah, 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 you know. Anyway, you're going to get to tell them all those names. There's the point. There's a lot of names for Sukkot. Here you go.
Okay, Sukkot, Season of Our Joy, Feast of Tabernacles, Festival of Shelters, Festival of Ingathering, and Festival of Booths.
Okay, the word Sukkot is the plural of Sukkah, booth, or tabernacle, which is a walled structure covered with plant material such as overgrowth or palm leaves. A sukkah is the name of the temporary dwelling in which farmers would live during harvesting, a fact connecting to the agricultural significance of the holiday stressed by the Book of Exodus. As stated in Leviticus, it's also intended as a remnant of the type of fragile dwellings in which the Israelites dwelt in during their 40 years of travel in the desert after the exodus from slavery in Egypt. Throughout the holiday, meals are eaten inside the sukkah, and many people sleep there as well. On each day of a holiday, it is mandatory to perform a waving of the four species. Tell them about that. What is it? You just got a box. Tell them all about it.
It's the lulav and the myrrh and the esrog and what's the other one?
I'm not sure, but
the spices, the leaves, you wave them.
Not spices, species.
Species, yeah, spices. Spicy species.
She's a species. That's for sure. You know, and she's that woman species. Anyway, move around.
And you light the menorah. It represents 8 days. Or is that Hanukkah? That's Hanukkah.
And so you're lost.
I'm lost. Yeah,
you're lost. She admitted.
I told you they all run together on me. You got to help me out on that.
Okay. Sukkot is the festival of the nation. One of the names of the Sukkot is the festival of the nations. We're seeing signs of the nations embracing this holiday because, according now with Messianic beliefs, people are doing it. Why is it? Because it's a feast of ingathering. It's ingathering from all the people. According to the prophet Zechariah, this holiday is also a prophetic dimension that has not yet been fulfilled, and it hasn't. When Messiah returns and establishes his kingdom, it will be required to keep the holiday every year. Let's read this from Zechariah.
Right, and the candle lighting is Hanukkah, not Feast of Tabernacles. I had it mixed up. It's 8 days of Hanukkah you light tonight. Light.
Yeah.
Because it's the festival of light.
Yeah,
it's the festival of Yeshua's birthday, though, the first day of Tabernacles.
Wait a minute. See, you admitted something. You said, well, they all kind of run together. And so you get some of those things intertwined, and sometimes she's real stubborn when I tell her and I try to sort it out. She gets real stubborn, and then she figures it out and catches it, but it usually takes her a day.
Well, I was thinking about Festival of Lights. That's not Sukkot, so I fixed it myself in my brain.
Wow, miracles do happen.
But it is Yeshua's birthday. He was born on the first day of these tabernacles.
That's a fact.
And he was conceived during Hanukkah, so no wonder I got them confused. They go together.
How many years have you been doing this festival?
Daniel's 28, so 20, about 20. No, he's 31, so 28 years.
And you still haven't figured it out. Okay, moving right along.
I'm getting younger in age, and my brain just doesn't work as fast. It's still up there. I got to just find it. It's kind of like Google. You got to type it in. If you don't type it in right, it comes up all scrambled.
I'm speechless.
Okay, Zechariah 14:16-21. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which come against Jerusalem which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from the year to year to worship the King of the Lords of hosts and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up to all the families of the earth and to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague, wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. In that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord, and the pots of the Lord's house shall be like a bowl before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts, and all they that are sacrificed shall come up and take them, and see us therein. In that day there shall be no more Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts.
Okay, and let's go with this. Now, here's something that people don't understand. A lot of Christians, most Christians, believe that when Yeshua comes, it just means they're all going to die and go to heaven, or be transformed and go to heaven, or raised from the grave and go to heaven. But that isn't what it says. In fact, there's a thing on Facebook, these two women were talking about how one of them said to the other one, said, you know, the people seeing there's going to be heaven on earth, and I don't think I've ever seen a scripture in the Bible that said that. And the other one said, yeah, you're right, that's some kind of cult thing or something. And so I put on there part of Revelation, which plainly says, see, because heaven in the finale of things, New Jerusalem comes down out of heaven when new heaven and earth is created, but the earth, that is where God,
the new earth,
Right, that's where Yahweh will dwell with the people. But for 1,000 years, there's 1,000 years when Yeshua returns before that happens. And that's 1,000 year, that's the seventh, that's the seventh day, or the seventh millennium. Because, you know, a year is as a day with the Lord. So, you know, we're coming up, we did 6 years, which, you know, the Father gave us that work time to try to get ourselves right. And so then on the Lord's Day, which is just like the Sabbath, you know, the Sabbath is the Lord's Day, where the day of the Lord is the seventh day also. It's the seventh millennium.
Right.
So when he comes back in that millennium, we'll spend it with him, and he will give the nations that, see, this said, the nations that are going to come up, well, that get, they still have choice. They're still living, breathing people. While those names were already found written in the Book of Life, will have been changed, and we'll be ruling with him in Jerusalem. But who we're going to rule over? We're going to rule over the rest of the world and judge them to help them come back into sync and to be with Yahweh. And at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan, that old devil, and the Antichrist, they'll be released from the pit and they'll come back out. And at that point, they will be gone to the lake of fire, because
right.
Then Yeshua will do, that's when he'll destroy them instantly. Then after that, then John says, behold, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and I saw a new Jerusalem descending out of heaven. You know, just read it, folks. Read Revelation for yourself. If you just want to read about those parts, read 19, 20, 21, and 22. We'll tell you all about it. But anyway, beyond Revelation, we got time for this. In that day, Yeshua will become Israel's Sukkah. He'll be our tabernacle. His present shelter is, anyway, the nations will no longer be oppressed. But anyway, read this.
Another parallel put forth.
Wait a minute. This comes from the New Testament, and this is Matthew. Go ahead.
Okay. Another parallel put ye forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while men sleep, his enemy come and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou grow seed in the field? So good seed in the field, from whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, least while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. But let them both grow until the harvest, and in that time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat unto my barn.
Now this is a parable of the end of the world, of course, and he clearly said it anyway, but here's the point. It's a harvest feast. What is tabernacles? Tabernacles is a harvest feast. Of these last three feasts that this is the third of the, well, of the last, well, technically there's four, but we'll go into that later. But this is a harvest feast. And so that's why this is about tabernacles, because that's when the harvest is. And that's also why the season of the joy, of our joy comes in. It's the season of our joy because our work is done.
And
and we're together with the Lord, and we're relaxing, we're great. And it's the same way with the harvest. They call it the season of their joy because all the work is done for the summer. They finally got everything harvested, and now they get to relax. And, you know, it goes into winter. So that's why it's the season of our joy. It's a time for rejoicing at the time of the harvest. So, see, it says that the wheat and tares will grow together until the very end, that we will be with them. But later, go ahead.
And then Yeshua sent the multitudes away and went into the house, and his disciples came up to him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seeds are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered together, and burned in the fire, so it shall be in the end of this world. the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all the things that offend and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then shall the righteous shine forth as the Son of the King, and as the Son in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew it to shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall the time be the end of the world, the time of the harvest. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. And there shall be, and they shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Yeshua said unto them, Have ye understood all these things? Then say unto him, Yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, Therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of the treasure things of new and old.
Right. Okay. So the point being is the wheat and tares grow together until the end of the, until the time of the harvest. Otherwise, you know that too. I mean, you, no matter how careful you are to pulling up weeds, you might accidentally pull up a plant with it.
Yeah.
And so that's why we're left alone, you know, because now at the time of the end, the angels will go out and they'll take the wicked from among the good. But see, it's still talking about earth, you know. But the point is, it's the time of the harvest, and you should keep the Feast of Tabernacles. There's lots of ways to keep Sukkot, but, you know, basically, you're supposed to build a tabernacle, you're supposed to eat on it, underneath it, put plants around it, and it's a really fun thing to do. And take a break from the world. Do nothing
right.
But
joy. And the first day is a high holy day, and the last great day is a holy day.
Okay, technically, now, so I'm going to have to intercede here. The first 7 days is the Feast of Tabernacles. The last great day, which is the eighth day, is technically not part, is not Tabernacles. That's the last great day. And what does that represent? The first 7 days represent the time that we tabernacle with Yeshua on earth. The last great day, however, which is a high holy day, is a representation of Revelation 21 and 22, where it says, after, at the end, John saw heaven and earth becoming as one, and the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, and even the Father himself will dwell here too. So there's the point. The last great day is the end book of Revelation.
I was just pointing out that it is a Sabbath too.
Yeah, and it is a Sabbath too, but I just wanted to make sure that people knew that, in a sense, while it's considered part of Tabernacles, in a sense it isn't. You know, but it is, it's all time in. But it's really great. You should research it and you should do it.
But this year, Tomorrow at Dark is very, very special because Tomorrow at Dark not only is the beginning of the weekly Sabbath, it's the first day of Feast of Tabernacles, is Yeshua's birthday. So it's a double Sabbath.
Okay, now I've got some things we got to say real quick before we get out of here. Folks, and on the Feast of Tabernacles, one thing is with all feasts is you need to remember the poor. At Tabernacles, there's even a yearly offering that they bring and give for the poor. But you're also supposed to read what it says in Leviticus 23. You're supposed to have great joy before the Lord, during that time. So you're supposed to be joyful. Thanks. I don't know if we're going to do radio next week or not. Probably not, because we are going to be feeding the people though. We decided on that. We're still going to go to Wichita and feed the people, but we are not going to, probably radio is not going to happen next week. And you folks that follow me at my website, all the breaking news and everything, unless it's something dramatic, I'm trying to keep my nose out of the news and everything so I can take a break. You're actually supposed to go someplace where you can get away from that stuff. It's hard to not get away from it when you stay at home.
I'm putting handcuffs on my hands. I'm not working.
We'll see that. A woman not work, I don't believe.
Yeah, it's not as easy to do when you're right here.
Yeah, that's why you go someplace else. Right. So we're not this year for several reasons. One of them being is there's so much unrest around the country.
Not safe anywhere.
I wouldn't want to be a state away or two states away if something happened at home or vice versa. Or, you know, so, and I know others that go every year, like to Oklahoma or whatever, and travel from another part of the country that are going to stay home because of it. And I think it's a good thing to stay home, but you can celebrate at home. You know?
Right. And the one thing that about this year is because of COVID, there's all kinds of services and celebrations and stuff online. It's not the same as being there in person, but it still gets you into the mindset, and there's others that you can see. You know what I'm saying? It's not as if you have to be alone. You can get a service on YouTube.
Right, you can get
YouTube's a wonderful place to get services at. So you can get Feast of Tabernacle services. I'm sure there's all kinds of all denominations.
I'll put some links up.
That'll
okay.
Right there on YouTube.
I don't want to spend it. We only got 2 minutes. I don't want to spend it on that. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We really do need your help. You folks have to remember, you got about a month before the elections, and I think everything's going to break loose, everything. Get stocked up. You really do need to get stocked up. Make sure you've got enough, a couple of months worth of food or whatever. You really, really do need to, and maybe an alternate source of heat. But you need to be prepared for what's coming, because we don't know what's coming. There's going to be a lot of turmoil. You wanting to say
three
something?
Things that we were desperate for at the Mission Church: to-go plates. We're having trouble getting to-go plates. That's because of all the restaurants serving in their drive-thrus, I guess. I don't know.
And those are those three tray ones.
The three tray go plates. We're having trouble finding them, and we need peanut butter, jars of peanut butter, and there was one other thing. But
vegetables. We need money to stock vegetables. We need to get a bunch, because we don't have enough vegetables to last to get this through the end of the year. We need to stock vegetables. We found them in the store. We can get them, but they're about $3 a can. But we need, probably $400 to get enough vegetables to last us the end of the year.
I remember the third one. I can't forget that one. It's easy. Toilet paper.
Toilet paper. Maybe some of them folks out there that overbought can send you some. You know, that's just funny.
Yeah.
Okay, so pray about it. We did get some Bibles in. I think somebody else is out there praying and getting Bibles. We can never get enough Bibles. I don't know. It seems pretty amazing at how many we give away, but we went through thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands.
Right.
It's consistent. If you follow us on YouTube, you can see the videos, or if you go over to the pastor's page, you'll see me post the videos. You'll see how many of them is given away, you know, sometimes 10, 15 a day. And, you know, you add that up. That adds up. Okay, we got
blankets and coats.
Okay, we're out of time. You can donate online, over the phone, mail a check or money order. You can find all the information at prophecyhour.com. You don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. Tell them goodbye.
See you later. Shalom. Happy Sukkot.
We must remember there is only one true God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That is praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, that you would please bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next week, or maybe the week after, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
Shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.